Good morning. So this morning we are reading from Luke chapter 23, verse 44 to 56. And this is an earth suit general need. And the topic is areas to still grow in. So, backstory to this is the message that we had yesterday, which was Luke 23, verse 26 to 43. So this, in a sense, is a continuation, but it's a separate aspect to grow in, right? Now, for those who haven't listened to that, the backstory is that Jesus has just been crucified, and he has died, but he's still on the cross, right? Lord, where do you want to start? All right, so verse 44. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. So, this is talking from a physical perspective, right? What people could see in the physical realm. He's speaking, he is the spirit within, but he's speaking from a physical perspective. And so he does so, and he says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. In other words, Father, I'm leaving now. But why does he have to say this? Because God has rejected him. He had to be rejected. He had to carry the sin, which means God had to reject him. And so Jesus is saying to the Father, Father, I'm giving you my spirit. Now, his spirit was condemned, right? His spirit was condemned because it was carrying everything of our sin and it had to go to hell. But he's making a future statement. He's saying, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He is committing himself to the Father, even though he knows that his spirit is going to hell. And in this statement, he is doing so in such a way to say, I trust that you will get me out of this. You see, this had never been done before. Nowhere had a spirit gone into hell. Satan hasn't gone to hell yet. Right? Nothing is in hell yet. It's waiting. It's going to get spirits, but nothing's there yet. But Jesus knows that he's going to be going to Hades. Nothing's in hell yet, right? Hell is the final end place. Currently, before Jesus dies here, everything that is not of God is in Hades. But he's going to be going to Hades. He's going to be preaching to everyone there, and anyone who does choose him will be able to move up to paradise. But a lot of them don't want that, right? So he's going to be going to Hades. But in doing so, he wants to make sure that he gets back to the Father. And so he states, remember, we speak things into existence. He makes a statement to God that God owns his spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. Gave up the ghost? Remember, whenever you see the word ghost, you're talking about that interface between the spiritual realm and the physical realm, right? People are going to start seeing apparitions and ghost-like things all over the show. They're not going to know what to do with themselves. They really are not going to know what to do with themselves, right? Some people will do so because they've gone to seances and things like that, and they start to see them. everybody's going to be seeing him, whether you've been to that kind of a thing or not. Because the veil between the physical and the spiritual realm is coming down. It's disappearing. The more we lose the magnetic field, the more you will see this take place. Right? So the ghost is that connection from the spirit to the physical. So he gives up the connection to his physical body. And now his spirit will be taken down to Hades. Right? And with it, every sin ever committed, past, present, and future, will go with him. But for those who do not accept his sacrifice, they will have that sin of theirs on them. For those who accept Jesus' sacrifice and replacement for him, provided they continue to forgive everyone, and provided they continue to live in a relationship with Jesus, studying the word, spending time doing all the things that we covered in how to measure your spirit, and understanding those things and how to measure your emotions. Right? You don't have to get it all right, but you need to be working towards that. Right? And the reason why you don't have to get it all right is because Jesus paid for it. So for as long as you can get it all right, get it all right. Turn away. Don't fall back into the traps. Continue to grow into what you're supposed to grow into, right? Don't let Satan pull you backwards. Having said this, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man." And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintances and the woman that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. It is really hard to witness death. It's really hard to witness people going through really tough situations. Sometimes you visit someone in a hospital and they're really suffering. Or maybe they're even just suffering at home, or maybe they are busy dying, etc. It's hard to see that from the physical perspective, but you need to understand what's going on the other side, right? They are busy hatching. As an analogy, these physical earth suits we live in is like an eggshell. And our spirit is like the chicken within. And so when you hatch out of your physical earth suit, then you also wind up moving from land of eggs, so to speak, into the land of chickens. Now, into our world, right? Now, it's the same principle when you leave. Another way to look at it is you go in a caterpillar, you have this cocoon that you are growing and transforming inside. And then you become a butterfly, and then you are taken out of that by the Lord. You know, you go through some really tough challenges, and you eventually come out, and the Lord has you in a different form, right? Verse 50. And behold, a man named Joseph, a counselor, a good man and a just. And then in brackets, the same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. What counsel and deed of them? He had not agreed to Jesus being crucified. Yes, he was part of the council, but he did not agree with them. Right? And he was outvoted. And so, one of the areas to grow in is to stand up for what is right. In amongst those who are voting, stand up for what is right. Do what you know is correct. Make sure that the Lord sees that you are doing what is right. Whether the vote goes against what you are agreeing with or not, let your vote stand before the Lord as that you have voted with your heart correctly aligned with the Lord. Right? we know this world is getting worse and worse. So the votes are going to be drawing things into worse and worse spaces. We know that's coming. We know that happens all over the show. But let your vote be righteous. So Joseph, a counselor, a good man and a just, of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Here's a man, he has grown into a senior position, a position of authority and power, and he now has this opportunity to use his wealth, his power, and all those other things to do what is right. Right? Doesn't mean that you're a Christian now, you just got to go and sit on the side of the road and be poor. No. He was waiting on what God had promised, trusted in God. And something inside him knew that Jesus was Christ, even though he didn't understand what was going on. How is it that Jesus could have died? He did not understand that, but nevertheless, he uses the influence that he has and the established relationships that he has to step in and do what he knows is right. Okay? No matter what other people think about it. Verse 53. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. You see, we know that this tomb that we find there in the Garden of Gethsemane out in Jerusalem, it looks like it's the right tomb. It does. And when you go in there, one of the things that you absolutely recognize is that you can see that this was made for somebody smaller. It was originally made for someone shorter. In fact, what had to happen is that part of this had to be chiseled out to allow for somebody bigger to be added. So you can see it was made for someone smaller, then it was made for someone who was taller. And it's understood that this actually was Joseph's own tomb that he had made for himself. So no one had ever been in it. He had commissioned it a long time ago to say, this is where I want to be buried. And it was all ready for him in case something happened. But now Jesus is there. He gives up his resting place. He gives up that which he has spent a lot of money and a lot of planning. And he's going to have to build himself another one for himself now. But he gives it up because there's a need. And so he uses, again, the resources that he has. Verse 54. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. Now, it's important to recognize that when people look at this, they get confused because they see that Jesus dies on the day of preparation, not on the Passover, right? But notice something here. God allowed the Jews and the Pharisees to change the day of Passover to a day later, and the day of preparation was actually the Passover. The day of preparation was the 14th. 14th of the first month. So God allows them to change that so that they can crucify Jesus on the actual Passover. They've renamed it, so now they've forgotten all about what days are what. And as a consequence, they crucify Jesus on the actual Passover. So Jesus dies on Passover. Okay. When did Passover start? When did Passover actually start? Remember? It's evening to evening. Right? So there's darkness from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. The sun was darkened. The veil of the temple was rent in the midst. Okay? And then we don't know exactly at what time. But Jesus cried with a loud voice. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. Right? So he dies just as Passover starts. Which means that he dies on a Wednesday evening. Wednesday evening. Passover starts, because remember, Passover is an evening celebration. Starts and it runs through to the next day. The next day, which is the next evening, is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Jews had mixed the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread into one day. God had had them separate. Now that they were one day, this Feast of Unleavened Bread was also a high Sabbath day, right? And so that was now all of Thursday evening to Friday. So it's Wednesday evening. Thursday evening goes all the way through to Friday evening. So that's now 2 days. And then starts the weekly Sabbath, which is then Friday evening, all the way through to Saturday evening. They still can't do anything. And then, sometime during that night, and I think it was probably around about the evening again, right? Jesus is resurrected. And they only discover the next day that he's no longer in the tomb. So he did spend 3 days and three nights in the tomb, right? So it was Wednesday evening through to Thursday evening, it's actual Passover. Thursday evening through to Friday evening, first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Friday evening all the way through to Saturday evening is the weekly Sabbath. And then the next morning, they come and they discover that sometime during the night he disappeared. Well, we know when that was. It would have been around about sunset when the Sabbath was finished. So when we come back and we look at this day of preparation, we understand something really strange. You see, the day of the week, as in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or as the Jewish people had it, the first day, second day, all the way through to the seventh day, right? Those days do not line up with the actual week, right? So in other words, the 14th doesn't always land on the same day every year. So the Passover day doesn't land on that same day every year. But in this case, in this particular year, and that's why you can go back using the calendars, you can go back and you can find which year he actually died in, right? Which is 33 AD, right? Because what you have to have is you have to have these 3 days line up. You've got to have these 3 days lining up. You've got to have Passover on the 14th, Feast of Unleavened Bread on the 15th, and the weekly Sabbath would have been then the 16th. All right. So let's start from 50. And behold, a man named Joseph, a counselor, a good man and a just, the same had not consented to the counsel and the deed of them. Of Arimathea, city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the woman also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after, and beheld the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. And they returned, and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. So they could do no more. Now, God also orchestrated that, because they could do nothing more than simply lay him in the tomb, wrapped up in linen. Right. That's all they could do. They went back and they prepared the spices that would normally be placed in there to mummify the bodies, right? And to prepare them for proper burial. But they couldn't apply it because of the timing. All this timing was orchestrated by God from outside of time. So the second area that you can grow in is to understand that everything is orchestrated. Timing is perfect for everything. You will not get what you need until the moment you need it. And it will have been prepared for you by others. Now, does that mean that you mustn't go and prepare things? No, prepare things, but be prepared to give it up for somebody else. Because the Lord may have had you preparing something, not for yourself, but actually for someone else. And so don't hold on to the things of this world so tightly. Understand that you are part of something God is orchestrating. And so don't look on what you have selfishly, especially if the Lord has put you in positions to have a lot of resources and finances and all that sort of stuff. Right? Never hold on to this world. Your position and all of these different things are there not for you, but for God. Well, guys, not sure what Holy Spirit's speaking to you about, but if you're following along with us in the handbook, then make your keywords in the second column and score yourself in the right. God bless and have an absolutely beautiful day.